This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. First up, do you have savings for when things get tough? And when did you find you were able to actually start putting that money away?
So our story today has its beginnings in an op-ed that was published in The Star. It's written by Yi Fui Mei. And it's exactly about this, right? The topic of saving for rainy days. And she basically pointed out that according to the IMF, there's going to be significant inflation pressure throughout the world this year, with developing economies being the worst hit. And that, you know, in a circumstance like this, we should go back to basics, right? We should follow the advice that we've always been given. In other words, to save. And also to not withdraw our savings simply, including our EPF, or invest without first studying the market thoroughly. So this, of course, like we said, is advice that has been given since time immemorial. But we wanted to set it against this current moment where, for instance, we're seeing the price of basic food items going up so tremendously. We're talking about the possibility of petrol subsidies no longer being in play. We're talking about so many different things, so many different ways in which our money is being affected, the disparity between the minimum wage, the living wage. So yeah, is saving, or making sure you save all the time every month, as easy as it used to be, or perhaps it never was?
Yeah, I mean, I think you covered so many of the challenges there, right? Why, in concept, you know, save a little bit every month sounds fairly simple to do. And yet, I think for many people, month to month, with things costing more and more and wages not necessarily keeping up with inflation rates, with the cost of rising goods, that act of simply saving may not necessarily be the easiest. So I think the push and pull of that is that it is important to have savings for exactly times like these. And yet this might seem like a fairly difficult time to sort of bite the bullet and make that decision.
I wanted to talk a bit about the emotional part of this, because I think money is a very emotional topic for many people. And not being able to save can sometimes feel like a personal failing. It can feel as if you are not managing your money enough, or well enough, or you're not earning enough. And sometimes I think that that pressure and guilt surrounding something like savings then leads people further down the path of not saving. Because of course you're like, well, I just can't do it, and it's too hard. And anyway, I haven't been, so it's fine. I'm just not gonna. And that's important to acknowledge, especially because we are talking about things that to a degree are beyond our control. They exist outside of our own spending, right? They're pressures on us. So yeah, I just think sometimes those feelings can get in the way.
And we always hear this, right? That in fact, the lower down you are on the income ladder, the more difficult it actually becomes to save, because you're not able to buy things in bulk. You are confined to having to just think about the next expenditure instead of making long-term plans when it comes to finances. So there are multiple reasons why earning less can mean that you are not able to save as significantly. But then on the other hand, earning more doesn't necessarily mean you can save more, because it may also come with more financial commitments. So there's a lot really to unpack here. And we are going to do that very shortly with Rafiq Hidayat, who is Managing Director of Wealth Vantage Advisory. But in the meantime, let us know. When did you get into the habit of saving, and how do you ensure you do it even on tighter months? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth moolah, BFM 89.9.
It's 5:13. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're talking about getting into the habit of saving, even when times are tough. And so we'd like to hear from you. When did you get into the habit of saving, and how do you ensure that you continue doing it even on tighter months? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Rafiq Hidayat, Managing Director of Wealth Vantage Advisory. Rafiq, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Sharmila. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. What do we know about how many Malaysians are actually able to save money on a monthly basis, whether statistically or just anecdotally?
Okay, so I would talk about it more anecdotally because we don't have official statistics in terms of how much people save. So we do have surveys that is being done from now and then by certain financial institutions, things like that. But there's no like official statistics. So, but based on anecdotal evidence, so this is based on the clients that we have in the firm. So actually, most Malaysians do not save apart from the forced savings, such as your EPF account. So if they do save, generally, is if they do have extra, maybe from bonuses or after additional income sources. But most actually just have like what we call a savings ratio of about 10 to 12%, which is generally just their EPF contribution.
So that ratio, right? Traditionally, the advice has always been to save at least 15 to 20% of your salary, or at least that's what I was told. Is that still applicable in today's financial context?
So basically, that ratio, it ranges. So some do say as low as 15%. Some actually goes as high to 25 to 30%. So, but to me, it's actually dependent on what your financial goals are. Okay, so the bigger your financial goals, then the more you have to save. The lesser or the smaller amount in terms of the goals that you're trying to achieve, the ratio or the figure should be smaller. So it's actually very dependent on where you're heading to. And is it still relevant? Yes. If you still want to achieve those goals, then it is still relevant. However, if you're talking about whether in the current situation where prices of things are going up, whether people can then put the money aside to reach the 15 and 25%, okay, then that's another question altogether.
If you could elaborate what you actually mean by financial goals.
Okay, so when we talk about financial goals, so in general, like a normal individual like me, you and Lynn, Camila, you and Lynn, so all of us have things that we would like to achieve. Okay, so then we would call them goals. So if, so example, one goal that most of us will have is our retirement or financial freedom goal. So this is generally our biggest goal. So because by the time we reach that point, so the assumption is that we would have sufficient amount of money in our retirement fund so that we can then do nothing and we can still survive up to a certain age. Okay, so that's an example of goal. So other goals that you might have would be, example, you want to purchase a house, you want to purchase a car, you want to go for this nice, really nice vacation. If you're not married, you want to get married. If you have kids, you want to send your kids for tertiary education. So all of this requires money. But for a normal individual, generally, how we manage money is that, so we know the things that we spend on. So basically like food, accommodation, transportation, so on and so forth. Okay. We also generally know, okay, so we have commitment. So our loans with the banks, things like that, and maybe our insurance, sakafo. But the thing is, for us to, in order to achieve the goals that I mentioned just now, so we also need to look at the amount that we need to save for the goal, for those goals, also as a commitment for now. So because that is future spending. So the goals that we want to achieve is technically our future spending. So if we don't spend or put the money aside from now, we won't be able to spend in the future.
So I spoke a little bit earlier about how money can be a very emotional thing. And I think that savings is not exempt from that, right? Because I've certainly spoken to people where there's this feeling of, you know what, I actually can't manage to put aside 10%, 15%, 20%. So if all I'm putting aside every month is 50 ringgit or 100 ringgit, then it's fine. I might as well not save it. I might as well just spend it all. How would you respond to that kind of feeling, I guess?
Okay, so there are actually two levels to how I would answer that feeling. So first is, even if you're able to save a small amount, please do so. Because like what we learned when we were growing up, so sikit-sikit lama-lama jadi bukit. So there used to be a lot of ads on TV, on radio, etc. Say, hey, please save. Okay, so even the small amount that you save, sooner or later, it will then grow. It will grow. So you will have something instead of nothing. That's the first part. Second part, okay, I find it a bit hard because, okay, in general, when I meet with people, so they would say what you just said just now, Lynn. Okay, I find it hard to save. Okay, I find it hard to save. But the thing is, what I see with most of the people that I meet, they are not optimizing how they manage their finances. What do I mean with regard to that? So I've seen cases where, okay, so they took loans, but they do not know the loans, the rates, etc. that they're taking for. I've seen a case where I took on this one client and she was paying 8.something% variable rate for a housing loan, which is very high. And the thing is, if you actually start restructuring some of these things, some of your commitments, understanding the difference between wants and needs, things like that, then you can start to find small or even big pockets of money that you didn't have access to before, now that you can save. So I had clients who couldn't save. They had negative cash flows, etc. But after we go through their financial details, understanding what we can do, so some of them are saving like the 15%, 20%, 25% easily. So it's just sometimes you do not know what you can do in terms of how to further optimize how you manage your finances.
Now, it has been drummed into us that saving is an important component of a healthy financial life, but it actually gets more complicated when we actually start working. What are some of the common reasons why people find it hard to save?
The ones that I've read, I've heard, and people tell me. So one is that I don't make enough money. So I think that's standard. To be honest, in some cases, it's probably true. Okay. So I think it has been said over and over again, like wages or income in Malaysia has been depressed, and especially people who live in Klang Valley. So there's a big disparity. So I was just talking to my mom earlier today, so about how I had a client who was living in KL, earning a certain amount and not being able to make ends meet. But once he moved to Kedah with that same amount of income, everything fell into place nicely. So because the cost of living. So we have to also acknowledge, first is that there are potentially a group of people, and it might be big group of people, who just don't earn enough money. Okay, so that's the first group and the first reason. Second is actually there is another group of people who actually earns enough money, but due to what we call financial mistakes that they've made from either before they started to work or during their early parts of work. So one of the first clients that I've worked with, he actually was earning 5 figures when I met him, but he was so close to declaring bankruptcy. And the thing is, when I was looking at his expenses, everything, so actually, if it's just based on the expenses, he should be able to save. But the thing is, he was paying so much for the loan due to credit history that he built up. So from when he first started, so generally it starts off with the credit cards and personal loans, then it added on with car loans, then a housing loan. So in the end of his total, the monthly repayments that he was paying is at least 60% of his total income. And depending on how it's broken down, so if let's say most of the repayment is actually going to credit cards, and that 60% in terms of your debt service ratio only takes into account the minimum repayment. So if you just pay the minimum repayment, it would take a long time for you to finish paying off the credit card balances. So, and this then balloons up. So even though that person is actually earning a considerable amount of income, but due to the mistakes that he made during the start of his career, stopped him from being able to save. And the third group is just people who just spend. So they cannot differentiate between their wants and needs. So, I see Shopee 7-7. I see yesterday was a sale. So now every month have sales. Before this, we had year-end sales, things like that. Now every month we have sales. Okay? But the thing is, some of the sales are actually not sales. It's just that the prices were jacked up, and then it's okay, we're going to give you discounts, etc. And then we as consumers, because we don't have the awareness, we don't have the understanding, then we go ahead and purchase these things that we might not need. And instead of putting the money where it should go, i.e. saving. So this is generally the three biggest, not to say excuses, like answers or reasons that I heard from people of why they couldn't save.
You mentioned this earlier, actually, but there has been a lot of conversation about the difference between minimum wage, living wage. Is it actually possible for someone earning minimum wage or close to it, living and working in the Klang Valley, to save a meaningful amount?
No, I'm not going to try to come up with a justification that they can. Actually, no. If you're earning minimum wage, which is the updated minimum wage, even if you're single, you wouldn't be living. I wouldn't even call that living.
How does that change if we talk about the living wage, which is supposed to be about 2,700 ringgit for a single adult?
Yeah. So I think at about 2,005 or even like about 2,003, 2,005 and above, it now makes more sense if you're single. But this is also assuming that you live in KL. So that same amount, if you live outside of KL, would allow you to have a better life. We also have to understand that part. So I think anywhere between like 2003, 2007, like your first year or first 1 or 2 years of working is generally sufficient, provided that you don't go into like buying a car from the start. So which a lot of the younger generation tend to do. So they want to buy a car because sometimes they also want to impress others, things like that. So if you live like that to impress others, then it doesn't matter how much your salary is, you won't be able to have a meaningful life.
Are there policy measures you'd like to see to bridge this gap between the minimum and living wage?
So I'm a business owner also. So I know the problems that some business owners would have in terms of increasing the basic wage to a livable wage. To me, it's something that should happen gradually. It should happen gradually because if it happens like overnight, then there will be other issues. So, you know, every time gaji naik, then harga barang all naik at the same time. Then we go through all the cycle again, people complaining, things like that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so we need to have, and I've said this before, and one of the things that we need to have in Malaysia is a very robust targeted subsidy system, which makes sure that the money goes to the people that need it instead of the money goes to it. So example, the easiest one is the fuel subsidy. So as long as you fill up RON 95, so even if you're in T20, you're still using the subsidy. So now, because RON 97 is like, 480? So a lot of T20 people who have cars at least 1.8, 2 liters, 3 and above. So now they're moving to RON 95. And RON 95 is a subsidized fuel. Means that when more people use it, then the cost of the subsidy then goes up. But technically, these people should be, if let's say their cars are using RON 97, then they should be using RON 97 because it's not subsidized. So there needs to be a better mechanism for how the subsidies get to the people that need it instead of just doing all this blanket subsidies and not just people who are not supposed to get it in Malaysia gets it, but also our neighbors. So through the smuggling and everything, like what I've seen in the past few days. So you see the cooking oil in Thailand. So then we also have people on the other side like pumping fuel because it's cheaper here. So to me, if let's say we can control the subsidy, then it would help a lot, especially for the lower income individuals and families.
Rafiq, thanks for speaking with us today.
Okay, thank you, Shamila. Thank you, Lynn, for having me.
That was Rafiq Hidayat, Managing Director of Wealth Vantage Advisory, weighing in on really how to get into the habit of saving and in a larger sense, the difficulties of that. Let us know, when did you get into the habit of saving and how do you ensure you do it even on tighter months? You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.